Reading in chapter 1, the Songs of Solomon. Solomon so often prayed to God, and so many times he would be moved by the things of God. And so many wonderful, beautiful things he said as he talked to Jesus. And God spoke through Solomon so many times concerning the church and his feelings toward his bride. Chapter 1 in the Songs of Solomon, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is in ointments poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not unto me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul lovest, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of horses and Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breast. My beloved is as unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also our bed is green, the beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters of fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fir tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. And thy countenance is comely. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it purple, the midst thereof being paved with love. For the daughters of Jerusalem, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousal, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. Behold, thou art fair, my love, behold, thou art fair. Thou hast doved eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shown, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hangs 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like 2 young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Ammonah, from the top of Shinar and Hermon and the lion's den and the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointment than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, does drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain seal. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come in his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Ye drink abundantly, O beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, how shall I put it on? I have washed my feet, how shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hands by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. That what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphire. His legs are like pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon's excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved is gone down into his garden, to the bed of spices, to feed in the garden and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Thy teeth are as a flock of sheep, which go up from the washing, whereof everyone beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them. As a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy locks. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she that looked forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley, to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranate budded. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Return, return, O Shunammite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will ye see in the Shulamite, as it were the companies of two armies? How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hand of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory. Thine eyes like the fish pools in Heshbon by the gates of Beth-Rebam. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon, which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights! This thy stature is like a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grape. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the bough thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There I will give thee my loves. The mandrake gives a smell, and at our gate are all manners of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Oh, that thou wast as my brother that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house. Who would instruct me? I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of my pomegranates. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that ye stir not up, nor awake my beloved until he please. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raise thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt. We have a little sister, and she hath no breast. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Bel-Haman. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard which is mine is before me. Thou, O Solomon, must have 1,000, and those that keep the fruit thereof 200. Thou that dwellest in the gardens, the companions hearken to thy voice. Cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like to a roe or to a young hart upon the mountain of spices. Now that's reading the whole book of the Songs of Solomon. I never have done that, but tonight I felt to do that. You know, if you'll notice here, again and again, the prophecies of the Holy Spirit breaks forth in the utterance of Solomon. And in this you can see an exchange of one's affection to another. Here you find Christ praising and loving the church, and then you find the church praising and loving Christ. And the exchange is from one to another as the love, this great love affair, takes place. In the world today, the most principal thing is people mating together, or people falling in love. And every movie you see is built around some love affair. And they say that every robbery, every murder, everything that takes place, that a woman is involved in it some way or another. And money, if you get money, money is no good unless the woman is involved in it. And the same way, if the woman gets money, it's no good unless the man is involved in it. So everything in the entire world centers around one thing, and that is a love affair, or that which exists between male and female. The whole program of life, God has made it to center around that one thing, and he has allowed Satan to come in to the things of the earth to magnify to the fullest extent, that though evil may come of it, yet it all in its purity has to do with God and with the church, with Christ and with his bride. And the multiplying thereof has to do with what the Lord said to us, in that we are to multiply and replenish the earth, not naturally but spiritually, as we preach the gospel and as we sow the seeds of righteousness. So then Christ has a bride, and this bride loves Jesus. This bride loves Jesus with all of the heart. And Jesus loves this bride with all of his heart. And these things that are said here, God captured these affections as the wise man Solomon spoke these things to show the love between Christ and between the church. You know, the love today between man and woman is pure, But the world has drug it through the pits and degraded it so that it's not pure in the sight of mankind. It is a degraded, abased thing that has been taken out of wedlock and been drugged through the earth in such a horrible, evil way until it's detestable in the sight of man and in the sight of God. But in all understanding of godliness, it is a pure, wonderful, holy, virtuous thing. The Bible said the bed of the married is undefiled and all. And so then when we think of Christ in the church, what a beautiful thing it is to know that Christ at this hour is wooing the church and has been wooing the church all down through the years. And that at the same time that the church has been responding to the wooing, as she has worshipped at the feet of Christ and loved Him with all that is within her, desiring His love and desiring His affection and desiring to be taken into His arms that He might enrapture her to eternal security, and that He might take away the fears and frustration and anxieties of cancer and death and of evil and poverty and all of the things that threatens the church, until the woman, which is the church, is completely secure in the strong and mighty arms of Jesus. If you'll notice in here, you find the church speaking back, and you find the words that's being said is that His neck is like the Tower of David that has hanging upon it the armor of that which He has taken from others, that He being great and mighty with the sword, that He's so valiant and He's so great and so mighty that, as David said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall, and that He is so strong and so terrible in His strength and in His majesty that we as the wife, or we as that church, can trust in Him, that we can believe in Him, that His strength will not fail us, that Lucifer and all of the powers of the enemy cannot touch us as long as He is close to us and as long as He cares for us and as long as He watches over us. And we see here as He tells how that He's taken off His coat. Speaking of Calvary, He said, I've taken off my coat. How can I then put it on again? And He spoke here of His feet having been washed, having to do with the water, the washing of the water of the soul, how that His feet had been washed by the wonderful waters of God, and how that He had descended down into the deep to wake up those that was asleep, and how that they had rent the veil, that the veil might be taken away, that the beloved might be looked upon. So we see this wonderful thing of God that's within the veil as words of love and caressing is spoke. He speaks of the turtle dove and how that the voice of the turtle is heard in the land, and how that the springtime of the roses and the sweet shrubs and the sweet trees, all of the sweet smelling fruits, how that this fragrance and this enrapturing thing comes about to just sweep over those that belong to God. How that He brings the springtime of His presence. Like the song that we wrote concerning the springtime, that it's God's resurrection. The springtime of resurrection. You know, we're right on the verge of springtime right at this moment. And with the spring comes the singing of the birds and comes the beautiful flowers and the smell and the fragrance of the sweet shrubs. And see, with God, with Christ, it's always springtime. They sing that song, springtime and glory, always springtime and glory, where the flowers are blooming rich and rare. And springtime brings a wonderful enthusiasm. It seems to activate people, and they get a special awakening that they've not had all during the cold season. It has to do with the resurrection. And so then right at this very moment, coming out of a great winter time of opposition, coming out of a great season of poverty and a great time of oppression, and coming out of the season of evil and the things that's been done to us down through our lifetime concerning the walk and ways of humanity, the oppression and all of these things, as we near the springtime, or as we hear the voice of the turtle dove, or that is of our beloved, then we know that the resurrection is nigh. The Bible said when you see the trees putting forth the buds, and you see the fig tree as it begins to put forth its leaves, know that summer is nigh, or know that the springtime or the resurrection is just around the corner. And so then, having been under all of this great oppression, all of these problems, all of a sudden, we get that feeling that our beloved is near. We get that feeling that Jesus is getting closer and closer, and our hearts begin to be enlarged, and it begins to magnify God. And coming out of this terrible season of life and the horrible nightmares of life, all of a sudden we find ourselves right on the threshold of the rapture or the translation. And it is a true fact that right at this moment that God is getting ready to rapture the church. As a matter of fact, reading this tonight, I believe relates back to the ring that was given me over in the evening. The Bible speaks of a fountain being opened in the house of David. And this has to do with the house of David because Bethlehem was the home of David. Bethlehem meaning house of bread, or the city of David. And here, seeing this having to do with David, having to do with the resurrection, having to do with the rapture, and right at this particular time, something happening. Brother Fontaine came along over the late evening, and he gave me a ring. And I slipped the ring on my finger here. And I looked down at the ring, and the ring had a dove on it. I've never seen one with a little dove on it like that. But it had a dove on it, and I kept the ring on my finger there for, I guess, an hour or so. I was busy trying to get everything together concerning this building that they're building down here that they call my house, which has to do with the Father's house and the mansion. Or in my Father's house, there are many mansions. They've been trying to build it for about 6 or 7 years. I don't know how long. Somebody said 6 or 7. I don't know whether it's been that long, or 2 or 3. I don't really know. But anyway, whatever, they've been trying to build it, and they've not been able to build it. And then all of a sudden right here, they start to work on it and everything starts shaping up just right. Now the reason for that is because the house has to do with the translation and with the rapture of the church. And so did the ring that came in. The dove has to do with the spirit. And this is no doubt why God tonight had me to read the entire book of the Songs of Solomon. Because it was Solomon that praised God and loved God in such a way, and no other writer, no other person in the entire Bible offered love to God after this manner. Solomon the wise man loved God after this manner. He likened the love of his heart and the love of the women that he loved. He likened the love of their heart and the love of his heart, the affection one to another. He likened this unto the great church and the great Christ that loved one another. Even as far back as that day, he saw that it was a typical thing and that it had to do with God and with the church. Solomon also building the great, wonderful building that he did, the great mansion, or that had to do with the Father's house, it showed a great outstanding thing for that hour because it had to do with the Holy Ghost. Solomon had to do with the great Holy Spirit. And the dove which was upon the ring that came in over in the evening had to do with this. And being busy on this house and have been busy on it for 2 or 3 days, I, sitting there, slipped the ring on my finger. As I slipped the ring on my finger, I thought about the significance of it and what has taken place in the last few days. I wish we had time tonight to go into the revelation of Jesus. But knowing what has taken place in the last few days, I slipped the ring on my finger and I kept it on my finger, I suppose, for about an hour or so. And then, of course, when I went up to the house, I slipped the ring off of my finger and I gave it to my wife. Now, I don't wear any rings. I haven't worn any rings for many years. You've heard me tell how that over in front of a place where I was raised up as a boy, having a ring on my finger one day with my wife there, we had a flat tire. A black man come along to help us fix it. And I standing back of his little truck, I believe it was, where you lay the rim up on top. We just laid the rim up on top of the truck there, up on the back of the truck, where we could do that. And while we was fixing that, something come down on my finger, and it caught my finger. It hit my ring, and it just squashed it together like that. And it was so painful. My finger was caught in it. I had the thing mashed down on it. And I thought, dear God, if I ever get this ring off of my finger, I thought I'll never put another one on. And finally, I got it prized up, and I got the ring off of my finger. I always prized that ring. I'd bought it before Betty and I had married. I'd had that ring. It had a couple of rubies in it, a little diamond in the middle of it. It was beautiful, but I never did put another one on my finger. And I didn't know the revelation of what was taking place at that moment. But later years, I saw what God was showing me by this ring that I prized so much. In later years, as I was down in Miami, Florida, which had to do with our trip recently, going down there and coming back and with that dove ring today. While I was down there, I was made to remember the ring that God placed on my finger when He gave me the great vision that had to do with the change. And as I said a few days ago, right at this moment going down there and the things that I related to you as how they pertain to the change and to the vision, today having this ring, I slipped it on this finger. I didn't slip it on this finger because this is the finger that God slipped the ring on. And that's the same finger that the ring was, to where the finger was crushed when the ring closed in on it. I've never put another ring on there. God put a ring on there. That ring tonight, though you can't see it, it's on there tonight. And that ring came when the Lord said that I'll give thee the stone of thy birth. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but lo, I shall be with you in the time of trouble and in the time of need. But I slipped the ring on this finger, and I kept it on for about an hour or so. And I never wear a ring. As I said, I never wear a ring. I haven't worn a ring for years. I never wear a ring. And I just slipped it on till I could take it up there and give it to Sister Betty so that I'd be sure that I wouldn't lose it in that it had a great significance. But speaking of this, and this the house of David, a fountain, or Brother Fontaine, or the Holy Spirit, from out of your innermost being shall flow the Holy Spirit, or we say rivers of living water. From out of your innermost being, from the wells of salvation, or that is the fountain open in the house of David. Right at this very time, God is opening a fountain in the house of David. Somebody would say, well, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that this is the house of God. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the house of David, because the great temple that Solomon built was the house of David. It was not the house of Solomon. It was the house of David. If you'll go back and you'll check, you'll find out that all down through the years, David fought courageously, and David from every parts of the earth gathered gold and silver and jewels and gathered together all of the material to build this house. And when he gathered all that material together, he gathered it together that he might build the house of God. And then when he got ready to build it, God said, David, you've got too much blood on your hand. But I'll tell you what, in the days of Solomon, in the days of your son, I'll let him build the house of God, which was called the house of David. So then the house of David, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that the Bible said, and in that day, speaking of the millennium, in that day David shall sit upon the throne of Solomon. Or that is, he will set in that day the Son of David, which is Jesus, upon the throne of David. That is Solomon's throne or David's throne, and yet neither Solomon nor David's throne, but Jesus Christ's throne from the beginning. So then the Bible teaches that This body is the body of Jesus Christ, which is the house of the great Holy Spirit, which is the Son of David, which is the house of David. And out of this innermost being comes the revelation of Jesus Christ. In that hour, for a fountain shall be open in the house of David, which means Calvary, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that out of your innermost being shall come rivers of living water, or out of your innermost being ye shall draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. That's why that they named the well Beersheba. So then, out of this well, there comes of the birth of a son. And that son is Jesus. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. Out of this well, or out of this temple, within this building, within this house, in that Paul said, ye are God's building, within this building of this tabernacle, or the temple of the house of God, comes the waters of life. Where the Bible said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Jesus said, if it had not been so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place, and if I go, then I'll come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you may be also. Whereas the Scripture uses the term that I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me. Being the Holy Ghost, being the Holy Spirit, He has returned that second time into our heart, shortening the days for the elect, coming to us not as a natural man, as He will to the Jews, but coming to us as the quickening Spirit, even the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the second time without sin unto salvation. In that the first time He came as that which was sin. He came in the form of sin, and being made sin, He said, the next time I come, I will appear without sin unto salvation. I will come in and I will make my abode with you, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. And Jesus said in so many words to them that understand spiritual revelation, that my body is the Father's house. That the fullness of the great God who is the Spirit lives and dwells within me without measure. And I am the Father's house. And this Father's house is composed of many members that are baptized into one body by one Spirit. And I am the head of the many members of that body, that you're bone of my bone and your flesh of my flesh, and that each individual member is a mansion or a house of God, and that each individual member of the church are of the body of Jesus Christ, that they are God's building. They are God's temple, which is a mansion, or which is a great, wonderful thing that Jesus said was within the Father's house. Within the radius of this body, within the body of Jesus Christ, within the body there's many members, or within the Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place. If I go, I'll return again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. So He kept His word. He came back. He prepared a place. He came back. And the Bible teaches that my spirit was translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and I am now hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. So He came back, He got me, He took me into heaven, and where He is, there am I also. For He said, wherever I am, there is my servant also, or there he shall be. And everyone that taketh up the cross, that is to say, if they'll let their spirit and body cross one another to the extent that the spirit will kill out the body, and you'll carry that cross until you completely do away with the body, then your spirit at death of that body will go back to God who gave it and be hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restitution, restoring of all things, which is the great millennium. There's the price that everyone must pay to get into heaven. And that price is death. No man can see God and live. If From the fall in the garden, from the time that Adam was cut off, there was something that came between Adam and the garden. And that thing with the flaming sword that stood there keeping the ways of the garden. That flaming sword is God's minister. The Bible said, I'll make my ministers the flame of fire. And they stand there with the sword of the Spirit. And these ministers are standing there to keep impurities out of the garden. Now, I know that in the day we're living in, there's a lot of people that thinks that they've got into the Spirit and they've got into the church, and they'll tell you that they've joined the church, and they have, an earthly church. But you cannot join the heavenly church, which is the body of Jesus Christ. That true church of the living God, the house of God, you must be baptized into that body by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Ghost. To be a member of my body, you've got to be filled with my life and be filled with my blood. And to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ, the house of God, the church, the true church, you must have the blood of Jesus Christ rolling through your vein, royal blood. You must have the Holy Ghost within you, which is the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ or of the Father's house. So then we know a lot of people are joining the church, being baptized in by water. But that does not mean that they are a part of the church. It does not mean that they have anything to do with the church. And at the translation, when God translates the church or takes the body of Christ or the bride out of this world, He will leave all of those denominational powers behind and never look in their direction anymore. Though they are a church, an earthly church, and though they have done things for God, they have been, as some of them, friends of the bridegroom. There have been, as some of them, handmaidens that the Spirit of grace has been poured out upon during the time of grace. And many of them have received great wealth and money and education. And God has, as concubines, put them away with gifts. Because they are concubines, they are not God's bride. He has multiplied in the earth through them. He has used that human body that He created to multiply and replenish the earth. Therefore, they are His concubines, but they are not His bride. His bride does not multiply and replenish the earth to the extent of bringing forth natural people, but His bride brings forth one, even the Son of promise, Paul saying, I travail till Christ be formed within you. That is the son that is heir to the kingdom. So it was said during the time of Abraham, the statement was made, you'll put the bond's child out, for he shall not be heir with my child. And so Abraham gave gifts and sent the bond's woman and the bond's child away. Now, it is so beautiful to know that we are God's temple, that this is the Father's house, and the great Holy Spirit is living within us. And though that great barrier has come between the Adam of this hour and the garden, yet God is going to move that middle wall of partition. Whereas to them that believe, He did it at Calvary, and taken away the middle wall of partition, now then with the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have pulled off my coat. I cannot put it on again. I've gone down into the deep to awake the dead of those that sleep, to bring them forth into singing and praising God. I have done this that the rapture, the translation, or the catching away of the church might come. That is, I have poured out of my Spirit upon all flesh to woo to me that which belongs to me, even my bride, who is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But once I have brought her to me, then the springtime will be over, and the winter time of tribulation and judgment shall set in. But my beloved shall go away with me in this great enrapturing power. She shall go away with me to that land as we sing, springtime and glory, always springtime and glory, where the flowers are blooming rich and rare. So then, She will go away with me to the wonderful springtime of God, to where the flowers never fade. I remember Mervyn used to sing the song, I am going to a city where the flowers never fade. So then we are on our way to that city. We've already been caught in this great whirlwind of God. We've already been caught in this great Spirit of God. We're already the temple of God. We're already the house of God. This is the mansion of God. And my innermost spirit, which relates to God who is the Spirit, God who is the Spirit living in the body of Jesus. I am a son who is a spirit that's living in a member of the body of Jesus, which is in the Father's house. God is a spirit. I am a spirit. For he that is born to the Spirit, he is a spirit. I am a spirit. God is a spirit. Therefore, I'm in the same world with the great Spirit. And that Spirit dwells in the body of Jesus, which is God's house. And a member of that body is my body, which has been changed into the glorious flesh of Jesus Christ. My spirit, being cleansed and purged and changed into eternal life, dwells in this temple. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that my old wretched bony body that's going to corrupt and go to the dust is a mansion? No, I'm not talking about your old bony wretched body. I'm talking about my glorious, wonderful body that's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh that shall never perish. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. I sure do believe that. But somebody would say, but don't you know that if you're flesh and blood, you got to die? But don't you know that Jesus come up out of the grave and said, fill of me, I'm flesh and bones. So then, I am no more flesh as the flesh I was. I am no more bones as the bones that I was. I am no more the blood as the blood that I was. My blood is royal blood that's on the seat of atonement yonder before God. It is the blood that's in the presence of life. It is Christ's blood. And my blood is gone. Because the life is in the blood, I gave up my life that I might have the life of Jesus. My bone is no more the bone that was, but the bone of Jesus Christ. And my flesh is no more as it was, but the flesh of Jesus Christ. And I am resurrected from the dead, and I am alive forevermore. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and I dwell in one of those mansions. Now then, so that I am in a new world, as the songwriter says, since God saved me. I have been transformated. I have been translated. And by faith of the foreknowledge of God, I have been transfigurated till I am in His presence and complete in Him. Because in His mind, He doesn't see me anymore as that corruptible person that I was, but He sees me as that eternal Christ that shall always be. And by faith, I accept what He thinks, and I accept what He said, and I accept what He sees, and I deny what I see, and I deny what I think, and I deny what I have to say about it so far as the human part of it. So then there is no more of that. All of that is over and gone. All of that foolishness is behind me. So today, I am with Him, and He is with me, and I am of Him, and He is of me, and we're all one together. Jesus said, Father, make these one even as we are one. And He said, I've not lost a one of them. Like the song said, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. So I've not lost a one of them. Every one that You have given me, He said, I'll raise him up in the last day. And so then here we are in the last day. We're moving into the very last days. And God is ready to bring us forth. Not only as I speak to the church to bring us forth, but ready to bring forth them that sleep in the dust. Jesus said, everyone that's walking with me right now, Heavenly Father, even the apostles that die, I'll raise them up in the last day in the resurrection, and not one of them shall be lost. So then Peter, James, and John, those will be resurrected in the last day. They'll come up out of the dirt. They'll come up before you make your change in this body. But see, the Bible says God has shortened the days for the elect's sake. I will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness, which means I will take a righteous people and do a quick work. Because they are righteous, they'll be able to do a quick work and won't have this long, drawn-out developing program that takes forever and a day, as we say. But being holy and godly and pure, I'll just do the thing quick, and that will take care of it. You know, it's like I said this evening, over a little earlier, over in the evening. 3 years, that's all Jesus needed to shake the world from the time he was 30 to the time he was 33. Paul, about 3 years in the Arabian desert, that's all he needed to shake the world. When the drought hit, just two or three years was all it was needed. The old brother Elijah shook the earth. See, God doesn't need a long thing. Isn't that right? All he needs is just two or three years and he can get the job done. So then, when we look at the wonderful songs of Solomon, in the light of these things that we've said and many multiplied things that we could say, then we know that the translation is a lot closer than we think. And that this thing is a lot farther along than we could ever imagine. And that something has taken place that many multiplied people have not seen. So then those that missed it, they missed it. What can you say? And those that received it, received it. What can you say? Judas walked right along with Jesus, but he didn't receive it. The others walked right along with him. They did receive it. Ahithophel stayed with David. His counsel was that as of the gods. But being a type of Judas, when he betrayed David, it became his foolishness. Being a type of Judas, he went out and hung himself. David, being a type of Jesus, went out on the same mountain where Jesus stood and looked over Jerusalem crying, "How oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth her brood, and you would not." And David stood there weeping over Jerusalem because Absalom in his evil, and that Judas thing had drove him away from his own homeland. And he looked back, longing to be with them and protect them, being the great, powerful man of faith and swift with the sword the way he was, knowing that all of the world around in that day feared David. No man pitted themselves against David because they were afraid. They knew that God was with him. And he stood on the mountainside worried about his people and what would happen, in that he knew that without God, no leader could lead them and no one could survive, and that Israel would fall into the treacherous, evil hands of the enemy. Jesus did the same thing, knowing that he would have to leave Jerusalem, that there were left the sheep without a shepherd, not having the leader that God had given them as the great Christ to lead them and to stand for them in that hour. But you know, God at the very last hour is going to bring the Son of God, and he's going to come back in Revelation 19 and join forces with Israel, and Israel is going to have that same wonderful champion, the great David of God, to go before them in that treacherous hour when the whole world closes in for the kill. God is going to do it. You know, that's what we need here. Without Christ, we can't make it. If I've got Christ in my heart and you've got Christ in your heart, then we can make it. But without Christ, we'll never make it. We may fool ourselves. We may tell ourselves that we can, and we might join the church. We might belong to a little Bethlehem group. We might come here. But if our heart is not right with God, if our hearts is not pure, then we'll never see God. For only the pure in heart shall see God. I want you to stand with me. I felt like exhorting you a little bit tonight. If you love Jesus, you can have Jesus' best. But you gotta love him. When can you find Jesus? The Bible tells us that when you seek me with all of your heart, in that day shall you find me, saith the Lord. I see, as I look around through Bethlehem, I see a lot of great men and a lot of great women. The Bible speaks of great women just like it does great men. And I see a lot of great women and a lot of great men. But many of them will never excel. They'll never excel. They'll never make it. They'll never be great in the sight of God in the sense of doing things. And the reason is because they've got a reservation of heart. They're not completely sold out to God. There's a little something in their heart, a little something in their mind. There's just some little something that they won't lay aside, or some little something that they won't give up, some little plan, a little motive, a little personal thing that they won't give up. And that one little thing, like the little foxes, will always spoil their vines. And our vines, as the writer says, has tender grapes. Always spoil the vines, and they'll never excel. But them that's willing to seek God with all of their heart, they'll receive the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They have no personal ambitions in life. They have no personal desire in life. They have no personal things that they want to accomplish in life. They're just following Jesus. And they pray day by day for the will of God to be done. And they're longing and seeking every minute for that perfection, whereas the Bible said, go on to be perfect. And they're longing for that perfection that at the last minute, when this great, wonderful change takes place, that they'll be part of it, perfecting holiness unto God, that they'll have their fruits unto holiness in the end thereof, eternal life. They're trusting God and believing God that this body is going to be perfected in such a way that he is being holy in body and spirit, in such a way until at that last minute that body will make that change. But, as I've said so many times, he that hath no control over his spirit is like a city with a broken down wall. If you'd rather have your body and you'd rather have your passions and you'd rather have that thing in your heart and life that overwhelms you, that draws you to satisfy the lust and greed and gullibleness of this life, then there's nothing I can do. There's nothing God can do. You are appointed to that which you was created for. Some brute beast created or made to be taken and burned with fire. The Bible said that we should hate the garment that's spotted with sin and iniquity, pulling some out of the fire, converting the soul. For the word of God is perfect, even to the converting of the soul. Nothing can convert the soul but the Word of God. So then this fountain that's opened the house of David is that great, wonderful revelation of Jesus Christ. Calvary was the revealing of Jesus Christ. And that revealing of Jesus Christ that rent the veil that came forth from that human bodies that hang at Calvary. Today, as these bodies go to Calvary, the veil is rent again. And this great Christ that's been formed within you, opening the matrix to come forth as the firstborn of God unto eternal life, and coming forth to the wonderful birthright of the blessing as the Son of the Kingdom, that he might be caught up to the throne to inherit all things. For the Bible said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Just follow Jesus one step at a time. We don't have to worry. Just follow Jesus one step at a time. Love Jesus. Follow him one step at a time. And everything will work out right for you. But if you don't follow in his footsteps, then you won't make it into the kingdom of God. Because to make it into the kingdom of God, you've got to follow in his wonderful footsteps. You love Jesus? Another song I remember. It says, I need thee, oh, I need thee. In that hour, Father, how I need thee. In that hour of chilly, cold death, when the breath won't come down into the lungs anymore. In that hour, I'll need thee most of all. In the hour when you cannot get any breath to make the heart beat, You know, it has to pick up oxygen with regularity, the heart does. And in that hour when there's no stimulants to the heart and the heart begins to grow weak and the heart won't pound anymore, it's at that hour that you'll wished that you had humbled your heart and believed on the Lord Jesus. In that hour you'll wish that you had not listened to the nominal teachers and ideology. And you'll wish that you'd been baptized in the name, the lovely name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In that hour you'll find out that all of those things that you didn't think were so needful because somebody had programmed your mind contrary to the mind of Christ. In that hour you'll find out that it was so needful. I think about the people that try to get to heaven without being baptized in Jesus' name. And yet the Son of God Himself, the house of God, the temple, the tabernacle, God Himself took time to go down to a muddy river and be baptized. And some people, they've got it in their minds that that's not necessary. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know it's necessary. A lot of people feel it's not necessary to get down on your knees and talk to God, but I want you to know it's necessary. You may not bow your knees now, but the Bible said there'll come a day when every knee shall bow. The presidents, the kings, the queens, the professors, the great men of science, Einstein, the great leaders, Hitler, preachers, millionaires, all will bow their knees someday. And someday they will praise God. But the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. And the Bible said, everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth, all begin to praise God. Even out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God hath perfected praise. You may think it's not necessary to do the things that you're told. You may say, well, Brother Pike, this is the thing of faith, and our great philosophers and teachers and people and instructors by radio and television and churches has taught us all we have to do is believe. But the Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. The Bible said, you show me your believing. Show me your believing. Have you ever thought about trying to show somebody your believing? Have you ever tried to show your believing? Try to show your believing sometimes. How are you going to do it? How can you show believing? Can you show believing? Believing don't exist as far as sight is concerned. But God demanded that you show your believing. You know the way you show believing? By your works. Because the child is known by his doings. Whatever he believes, that's what he does. If he believes the word of God, then he obeys the word of God. He acts on the word of God. He lives the word of God. He talks the word of God. He honors the word of God. When the word of God says repent, he repents. When the word of God says be baptized in Jesus' name, he don't go somewhere and let somebody baptize him some other way. Or he doesn't just bypass it and say baptism is not necessary. It's just believing, that's all. When God says pray, or the word says pray or fast, you don't just bypass it. When God says that you can't chew cud and smoke and suck on weeds, when he says you can't curse and drink and frolic, that all of these have their part in the lake of fire, that you can't be envious and jealousy, and that you can't covet, all of these are evil. When the word of God says they're evil, then that means that you can't do them. And when God said, let me see long suffering and patience and godliness, purity of heart, let me see all of these wonderful fruits of the Spirit in your life, you can't just bypass them. Listen, did you know that if you don't have peace in your heart, If you don't have long suffering to where you can put up with things and people and brethren, somebody would say, well, I suffer long. A lot of you don't suffer long. You mumble, you grumble, you complain, you talk to your wife. You're always having something to say about it. That's not long suffering. You're just sitting this thing out so that you can get what you want. But long suffering is when you're patient, still loving and kind, when you have brotherly kindness, when you have brotherly love. All of these beautiful things, if you don't have those things, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can tell the tree by the fruit. You don't have the Holy Ghost. You might be a believer, but you don't have the works of Christ, because the Holy Ghost is the works of Christ. You don't have the Holy Ghost. If these things are not in your life, you don't have the Holy Ghost. No need of fooling yourself. If you've got the Holy Ghost, there's a joy on the inside of your heart. There is a peace and a rest on the inside of your heart. There are the fruits of the Spirit in your life of long suffering, of meekness, of brotherly love. You know what brotherly love is? You want to be around that you love. Kindness, godliness, patience. If you don't have these, you don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then the Bible said you're none of mine. Why fool ourselves, brethren? The pure in heart shall see God. I want you to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask Joseph if he'll come up and dismiss us tonight. Let's just bow our heads together as Joe comes. As Joe prays for us tonight, naturally, physically, spiritually. Tonight, then let's think on Jesus.